It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Gillespie looking to throw it in. Gets it up top to Queen. Dribbling left. Big step down the lane. Runner for the win. Baked it in! He baked it in! He baked it in! And Maryland has won! Maryland is going to the Sweet 16!
It's the Westwood One NCAA Radio Network with the call. Derek Queen, checkmate, Perloff, Maryland. We finally get a buzzer beater. We actually had a double kind of buzzer beaters in this game at the very end. Colorado State hit a huge shot to take the lead, and then timeout. Maryland regroups. It's their freshman who's likely going to be an NBA lottery pick, and Derek Queen, who was just fantastic.
Dribbling against his body and doing a one-legged dirt bank shot. Yeah, I had that on my bingo card. That was such an odd play.
Yeah.
But thank God we finally got some last-second drama. I was waiting all weekend.
I know. So we'll start off with just the best and worst thing we saw from the tournament over the weekend. And it's funny because I think this play is kind of the best thing and the worst thing. It was the best thing because we did get a buzzer beater. It was very exciting. Maryland's back in the Sweet 16 for the first time since 2001 when they won it all. But very controversial. And I know that we don't know what traveling is anymore in basketball.
Oh,
there's
okay.
different rules in the NBA than there are in college. And I know Gene Steratore really did a lot of backflips to try to, you know, cover for the officiating crew. But that was three steps. Now,
oh, okay.
I don't have a dog in the fight, but if I'm Colorado State, who was on the losing end of this, I am sick. They have not been this far in the tournament since like the 70s and or 60s, I think. And you know, it was a travel. It was a clear travel. And I think it comes down to what you and I have talked about a lot with football and baseball and every other sport. If the play is so spectacular, do you want it to hold up even if by the letter of the law, it should have been called a travel?
Yeah, I the way they're calling travels in this tournament, if they called that travel, it would have been insane. No way. And yeah, I mean, kind of three steps. I saw a guy at the top of the key just walking around with a ball in his hand and under his arm like a loaf of bread. No. There is no way you call that. And even so, I'm watching it now. It's not so clear to me that that was a travel.
Oh, really? I feel like he took three giant steps. It was like Neil Armstrong on the moon. It was like a giant step for mankind. He's got the ball, as you said, loaf of bread style underneath the arm. And Steratore is telling you, for the third step, he had it like under his arm, and that's what Steratore said was the reason they didn't call the travel is because he had it gathered. That's the word. It was gathered, and that didn't. I guess that's okay if you're in the process of gathering the ball.
I watched a ton. I watched the entire post game. Nobody was having any issue with that. Where is this all of a sudden a thing? I missed that this was a thing.
Oh, this is a thing. It's a big controversy. Now, listen, I think everyone was so hyped up about the buzzer beater that they, and Colorado State isn't exactly, you know, like a basketball powerhouse. So I don't think they have, like, you know, it wasn't like Duke or someone like that getting hosed.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I understand the argument here that was, it didn't look like a clear travel to me in real time. And the way they're calling this tournament, there's no way that was a travel. I'm not going to let you do that one to my Maryland Terps.
Listen, I've got the Terps going far too. Again, I have no dog in the fight, but definitely was a travel. Okay, if that was, it was to me sort of the best and worst thing. It was best because it was a cool buzzer beater, but the worst because the travel call. What else did you love from the weekend or hate from the weekend?
Well, I hated the lack of Cinderellas. I mean, what's going on? So college football, the Cinderellas are good, and college basketball, the Cinderellas are bad.
I didn't think about that.
Well, it's, I've heard this argument's being made everywhere that the mid-majors are losing all their players to the good schools, so now they can't compete past the first round. So where's, I was looking at my bracket all weekend. I needed a Drake. I needed some juice here. Mm-hmm. Who do we got? Who's our darling? John Calipari? I mean, and is all his recruits at Arkansas? It's such an unusual Cinderella. So this is the probably, from that standpoint, the most boring bracket we've had in a long time. It is just major conferences, mostly the SEC, which is annoying too. It just doesn't feel like a typical March Madness to me. I would not describe this as March Madness. I would call it March Mildness, trademark.
Mm. Wow, March Mildness. And you trademarked it, right?
March Madness.
I mean, here's the one thing.
Same.
When you don't have the Cinderellas, what they tell you, what we think, is that you get better games in the second round, right? Because you have more powerhouses and heavyweights kind of slugging it out. And to be fair, we did get some really good second round matchups, right? You know, UConn and Florida yesterday, which came down to the wire. Obviously, you got, you know, St. John's and Arkansas on Saturday, which was a really entertaining game. We'll get more into that. But there were also still some blowouts, you know? There were still some games that were just never felt like they were anywhere close. You know, did Baylor get within like 19, 17? They couldn't really make a run against Duke. It did sort of feel like not just that it's been chalky and it's been about the heavyweight teams. It also, we haven't had tons of close games. So in that way, yes, yeah. I'll take your March Madness business.
Whatever, I mean, honestly, Florida should have lost to UConn. UConn had them and then they just got a little bit cold from three. Exactly. And even here's the thing. You do bring up a good point. You should have great Sweet 16 matchups. So you get that on the positive.
Yep.
But, you know, that's the way you want a tournament, right? You want the Cinderellas to eventually go away. Even these second round matchups don't feel as charged as usual. I don't know. Because I think this is a point where you should know if your bracket's in good shape or not. But does anyone really know? I think it's all TBD.
Yeah, well, you don't want to be that person that just goes chalk, but all 4-1 seeds are still alive. Yeah. You mentioned the SEC, 7 teams out of the Sweet 16 from the SEC.
Yeah.
And the irony, only 1 from the ACC. What happened to the ACC is the powerhouse basketball conference. Only Duke remains, who, you know, might win the whole thing.
Right. Also, you didn't have 1, 2, 3, or 4 seed lose in the first round for the first time in several years. So, yeah, it was super chalky. And also, who do you get behind now? And the funny thing to me, and get back question. To this, do you get behind Calipari? I mean, that feels wrong to me. That's the guy we're all rallying around?
He is the underdog of this tournament, I think, in seeding only. To be a 10 seed, it's still Arkansas. They're still in the SEC, the powerhouse conference. Took out Petito and St. John's. We can get into that ending of that game on Saturday afternoon. We have the Big East player of the year sitting on the bench for the last 4.5 minutes or so. And Coach Petito, after like not really giving a real explanation, he just said he's 3 for 17. Like, stop asking me leading questions. Like, I don't know, Coach. It was kind of the biggest decision, probably any individual decision that was made in this tournament so far. And the fact that he kind of just tossed it to the side, like, you know, don't bore me with your insignificant questions. Like, I don't know. This one was really significant.
Yeah, so. I mean, and also the thing is, he's Rick Pitino, so he's kind of saying, don't question my basketball knowledge.
Yeah. Manny, you want to put this up as a poll question? Are you rooting for John Calipari? Is he the underdog now? I'm going to be honest. I found myself rooting for him a little bit. I did.
You didn't want Pitino to get through just for the story?
Yeah, I think Cal's a good story. I
mean, I hear you, but Petino is, we're going to, if Cal could get to the, he has a great, great line here to keep on advancing, but Petino would have been all time. That would have been a documentary.
See, I think that Cal, though, Coach John Calipari and the way that it ended with Kentucky, right? It was two first-round exits and a second-round exit in his last three tournaments when he's coaching Big Blue, and then he gets shoved aside, and then he, like, pops up at Arkansas, of all places. And if he actually ends up going on a Final Four run here, wouldn't that be unbelievable? That would be like a John Calipari checkmate, and I just didn't see it coming. We thought his best days were definitely behind him. You know, how can he coach in this era when it's not about freshmen anymore? And it's, well, except for Cooper Flagg, I guess, and Derek Queen, but it's less about freshmen and less about one and dones as it is the transfer portal. And they started this season 0-5 in conference play, and now here they are.
That's all good, but it's not as good as Patino's story would have been. The dude was at Iona 2 years ago.
But that's his own fault, you know?
That's always same with Calipari.
Well, different circumstances a little bit. I mean, major scandal that got Rick Pitino ousted at Louisville. Then he has to, like, go to Greece for a couple of years.
He went to Greece. That would have been, if St. John's in advance, that would have been an all-time story. For Cal expects to win national titles at Arkansas.
Really?
I mean, yeah, he's going to have the best in 2 years. I'll have the best recruiting class, of course. Hmm. You think Cal is as disgraced as Pitino? Greece. I think everyone's like, oh, okay. I mean, Cal basically was, you know, he brought his team to Arkansas. Nobody thought he was going to come. Everyone had him in the top 25 in the preseason.
No, he's still going to be
an elite team. I think Pitino was a shock.
I think there were maybe some like Pitino, but also thought that Calipari's best days were behind him.
Probably, but still. I mean, nobody was taking this Arkansas team lightly coming into the year, but they're coming off Kentucky, brought some guys over. I mean, I don't think it's quite the Cinderella story. That's your Cinderella?
That's my Cinderella.
That's your Cinderella.
That's all I got for you.
I can't accept that as a Cinderella. I just will not go there with you.
Well, this is not the Cinderella type of year. And listen, I'm not ready to just like pack it in on college basketball and say it's broken and the transfer portal and NIL has destroyed everything. Guys, it's also conference realignment. You know, that has really changed how we're talking about this Sweet 16. It's like, oh, it's only the SEC and one team from the ACC and the Big 12. Well, you know, BYU wasn't in the Big 12 recently. Houston wasn't in the Big 12 recently. And so I think the conference realignment has made this look a little bit different than we once had thought. Because if those teams are still in the AAC and in the Mountain West, we're like, ah, mid-majors. They're still alive and well, but they all conference, you know, the conferences got bigger and they got bloated, and now you don't have the same kind of parity.
Well, it's funny because you say the Big 12, Texas Tech plays Arkansas next, right?
Yeah.
Who is the Cinderella out of that group? I mean,
Texas Tech is the third seed in the West region.
Yeah, I know, but they feel like the smaller school out of those two for obvious reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I know that they had success with Beard, but generally, though, that I don't think I think Arkansas, your Cinderella, feels like the big dog in that matchup, even though they're the lower seed by far. They're the 10 by, I mean, who's the closest seed to them in the next round? We have one double-digit seed. Again, I refuse to accept this thesis that John Calipari is this great rebound story.
Okay, so maybe the question is not, are you rooting for Calipari? It's, is he the underdog? Coach Cal, the underdog. Feels weird when it comes out of my mouth like that. He's not an underdog. He's a Hall of Fame coach. Literally in the Hall of Fame already. So it's a little odd, but I kind of think the slipper fits. It's as close.
I guess because he had a couple injuries, but how many teams in his bracket did he come in rated higher coming into the season then? So you have to ask that.
Yeah, but you know, coming into the season, that feels like ancient history. You know, you're playing in the toughest conference in America and you start out 0-5. Like, people were abandoning ship on that.
Yeah.
Whatever was left of the bandwagon was off. And, you know, to be fair, here they are in the Sweet 16. Again, they're going to face Texas Tech. We're asking, what was your favorite moment for the weekend and what was the worst moment from the weekend? And seeing a little bit in the chat here, youtube.com/InfinitySportsNet, as we say good morning to all the Weedos, definitely a travel. All-time moment on Derek Queen yesterday.
If they called that, that would have been bananas. Yeah, maybe by the letter of the law, and even that's debatable, they're, in 1,000 years they were not going to call that. Right? I mean, if they'd call that, that would have been true March Madness.
888-710-4ISN. New phone, who dis? 710-4476. Brand new phone number. We're all still getting used to it. You guys have been awesome saving this number in your phone. Give us a call. because we want to know what was your favorite moment and what was the worst moment from the weekend when it comes to the NCAA tournament. We got football news for you. Not the kind I was expecting over the weekend. We will also update our movie sequels bracket a little bit later on in the show. We got some Cinderellas over there. Maybe the real tournament isn't giving us any Cinderellas, but the movie sequel bracket is delivering. So we're excited about that. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. It's Maggie and Perloff show. Just getting going.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff. Whoa, get a little quiet storm here with Ryan Botcher on the ones and twos. Big debate. Is Arkansas the best Cinderella we got out of this tournament? Arkansas, with all their top recruits and Coach Cal, where's, you know, why didn't McNeese or Drake make a move here? We got Arkansas, and to me, they are not really a Cinderella.
Well, if the slipper fits, Pearl, I mean, you got to jam it in there.
I'm looking at my entire half of the bracket. They were rated higher than any team on their side of the bracket except Auburn coming into the season. They're not a slipper team.
I'll tell you what, Drake should have made a move at the deadline, try to get a real key piece. Probably what could have helped him right now in the postseason.
Nothing can help Drake. I think this is the bottom line. This is what we learned. The real Drake.
Yeah, which Drake are we talking about? Yeah, the two get confused.
Yep, exactly. Let's go to Ricky, who's in Arkansas. You're up first here on the Maggie and Perloff show. Ricky, are your Razorbacks a Cinderella?
Oh, absolutely. My name's Ricky, and I'm from just down the street from Bud Walton Arena, the Basketball Palace of Mid-America, the home of the Arkansas Razorbacks. And we were going to be a bubble team, and I mean just by the hair of our teeth, a bubble team, which would put you about a 14, 15, or 16 seed. Mm-hmm. My belief is the only reason we got a 10 seed is because the selection committee wanted us to play Bill Self and then Patino.
Yep.
And we did not deserve a 10 seed. What Calipari's done with this team, we lost the top two scorers, and he continued to keep this team just gelling and coming together as one unit. And I believe it's his best coaching single season coaching demonstration in his entire career.
I've heard that a little bit. I think you go back to the UMass teams, maybe, if you want to look at best coaching. But listen, Ricky, I love that you kind of stated like your name and rank. Like Ricky, Arkansas, down the street, Bud Walton Arena, you got the bona fides. We're not going to argue with that. Thank you so much for the call. And I like what Ricky's saying is that they're a 10 seed. They should have actually been even higher, lower, whatever.
Well, yeah, I mean, you can only do so much with a SEC. I mean, how low can you? Calo, can you actually put him?
Well, I don't. They could have been a first four, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, first four for sure.
It's possible, but they did get the 10 seed.
Which would have made them an 11.
I do agree with Ricky. I think the committee, you know how cute they like to get. They love to get so cute, that committee. And I think they did want that coaching heavyweight of, I don't know about Bill Self. That was like a bonus. I think they definitely wanted Calipari and Patino head to head.
Yeah, but I don't think, I mean, they couldn't have fallen any logistically lower than 11, right? Isn't that how it works? Maybe.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, so I don't think that was a huge surprise. Again, okay, I admit, losing a guy's injury, he's done a great job, but what if they lose to Texas Tech? Are we still going to look at this Cal team as one of the great Cal jobs? Probably.
I think winning two games in the tournament, you beat Bill Self, you beat Patino. Yeah, I think I'm not saying mission accomplished, but kind of.
Yeah, but I'm going to go back to, was this St. John's team what we thought they were? Did they just roll through a down Big East?
I don't want to do that. I mean, I think UConn had a bit of a down year, and obviously they got bounced yesterday by Florida, but that was a really good game, and we'll bring you some Dan Hurley sound in just a moment because he's a nut. But I don't want to do that. Creighton was a good team. I don't want to say the whole Big East was down this year. I'm not going to buy that.
Yeah, I just think that we all saw it on TV. St. John's is not a good offensive team.
No, but that's not who they were all season. It's not like they changed who they were.
Right, but
they couldn't hit the ocean from the end of that game. We're talking about the Rick Pitino, John Calipari, Arkansas St. John's from Saturday afternoon. That game was great, but no one could hit a shot. It was some ugly three-point shooting.
In terms that our cohorts here can understand, it reminds me a little bit of the Tom Thibodeau teams. Like, they're great in the regular season because they just have more energy and run, but talent-wise, they're not quite there for a playoff run. Right, they were just out hustling and out enduring teams because of the Patino style in the regular season, so they could be tied with Creighton with 8 minutes left and just put the squeeze on. But that doesn't necessarily work in the tournament because everybody's up for every game. Yeah, I wish I had faded St. John's even more. This Monday morning quarterback.
Yeah, I was going to say, we'll do some bracket redos in a little bit. But
easy for me to say now. I had him in the Elite Eight. I just want to be clear about that.
A couple people probably would have rethought St. John's a little bit. Meanwhile, let's get to Aaron Rodgers.
What the f*** is Aaron Rodgers up to today?
Have we confirmed that he has left the city of Pittsburgh yet? We know he's left the facility.
No, I would bet anything he did not hang around in Pittsburgh for the weekend.
Pittsburgh's beautiful. Maybe not in March.
Friday to Monday, Aaron Rodgers, you think he's just sort of hanging out?
Andy Warhol Museum, great
food. There's no baseball
scene.
Game to go to for 2 days.
Anyway, Rodgers was visiting the Steelers over the weekend. We found out 6 hours, Pearl. 6 hours in the facility, but leaves without a contract. So that's probably not great.
Well, that seems to be, that's how they did it with Russell Wilson. Last year, Wilson left without a contract. We have reports over Sunday that Mike Florio on Pro Football Talk said that it looks like it is probably going to happen at some point.
Yeah, I've heard safe bet. Safe bet that it's going to happen. But again, leaves the facility with no contract, so now things are up in the air. Listen, the Steelers have to do this. Like, they've got to do this. They've got to do this because they don't have any other great options. Like, at least Manny's Giants picking third in the draft. You know, you can squint. Maybe they can get Shador Sanders. We'll talk about that a little bit later because the Giants also signed a backup in Jameis Winston. But what are the Steelers going to do? Well, they're going to start Mason Rudolph already and end the madness? Like, what's happening?
Well, it's not the question. The Steelers want to do it. The question, to me, it seems like the ball is in Rodgers' court. Does Rodgers want to do it? They don't have him for 6 hours with no other options. They're in. I sense that they are in with 2 feet. Do you have any? You think there's any reluctance?
Well, I mean, maybe Rodgers want to sleep on it. I don't know.
I think it's Rodgers who's slow. And Pittsburgh, since there are no better options, probably should take your time. Because what's their other, as you said, what's their other option? Trade for Kirk Cousins? I don't even know. Joe Flacco?
Bring
Russ back? Oh, God.
So here's what this is what I was thinking about over the weekend. Like, why would Aaron Rodgers leave without a contract? Okay, maybe he just wants to think it over. You know, get to see the city of Pittsburgh a little bit. I don't know. But there's another thing here, and we just saw it last year with Kirk Cousins, where Kirk Cousins goes to the Atlanta Falcons. They paid him a boatload, and he only left Minnesota because they couldn't guarantee they wouldn't draft a quarterback.
Right.
I wonder, as Rodgers, and I know the Steelers picked 21st, so like so many things have to happen for them to land a QB, but are they not giving Rodgers any assurances like, hey, if a quarterback we like, if it's Jackson Dart, if it's Jalen Milroe, if it's whoever is sitting there at 21, we're taking him. And, you know, it's not implausible that he would start some games, the younger guy. Like, are we seeing what happened with Kirk Cousins? Is Aaron Rodgers trying to avoid maybe the embarrassment of what Cousins went through with the Falcons taking Michael Penix?
It doesn't feel like it to me because he's 21.
I know.
Especially in this draft, that's a major project. Jalen Milroe, I mean, Rodgers would be comfortable having him as his backup because I don't think they'll ever want to go to that guy. Well, I mean, that's because
they love 2 years.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's 2 years away. It feels so different. Penix went number 8, and Penix was 24 when he came into the 23, rather. He might have been 24 when he came into the draft. So that was he'd just been in the national title game. Much different situation. So I don't think Aaron Rodgers is scared of anybody there. Now, if they did draft Tyler Shuck, who's 25, maybe, you know, normal backup age, maybe that's an issue, but I don't think
so. What do you think's holding it up? Money?
I think Aaron Rodgers is
still holding
on
up
the
for
beach.
Minnesota?
I think he's on the beach looking at, no, I think we're talking about Buddhism. I don't even know. I think we're into ayahuasca. I think Aaron Rodgers' wacky mental processes. I think it's Aaron Rodgers is considering the holistic approach to this. Buddhism, yes. I think Aaron Rodgers is bringing his strange Aaron Rodgers energy to this.
Well, this is Pittsburgh. You got to trade out the Buddhism for some French fries on a Permanente Brothers sandwich and get with the program. I mean, you're talking about him on the beach, the shores of what? The Monongahela?
No, I'm saying I think he is went back to California and he's contemplating, do I want to do this on a spiritual level? I know I'm sounding silly, but I think this is all Rodgers stuff. Nothing to do with Pittsburgh, nothing to do with the rookie. I think he's deciding, you know, I want to go to Minnesota. It was indoors. It would have been awesome. Offensive coach, not going to happen. I think he's looking at this situation and saying, God, you know, it kind of sucked. Remember that game against the Broncos when it was raining outside and cold in New York? Do I really want to be in the AFC North on a non-offensive oriented team? I think he's wondering, is this the spot for me?
Well, I would probably take that a little personally then if I'm the Steelers, where Minnesota, you would have been all gung-ho, but for for Pittsburgh, you need some kind of spiritual quest. I don't know.
Why would you take it? Pittsburgh's not in a position to take anything personally. Who's their quarterback right now? They don't have a quarterback in the building. Mason Rudolph.
Yeah.
So who they clearly don't want to start. So no, I don't think they take it personally. Do you think they do?
No, but it's just, you know, it'd be hard not to, right? You've put the full court press on the guy for 6 hours in the facility, and then he leaves and he's like, all right, I got to really think about it. It's like, have we not been thinking about this for weeks? I mean, it's not like the Steelers came out of nowhere with an offer. Like, you would imagine he's been contemplating this now for a couple weeks. And I'm not saying he has to get, like, pressured into a decision, but at some point, like, you either want a play or you don't.
Welcome to the Aaron Rodgers world, Pittsburgh fans. This is just the beginning. You think it's weird now. It's middle March. Wait till July. I mean, maybe he doesn't want to go
sounds like a threat.
Maybe he doesn't want to go to camp.
Wait till July.
Maybe he doesn't want to go to off-season programs.
Well, then he doesn't want to play, because if you go into a new team, that's going to be as impactful as anything. You know, you've got to get on the same page with DK Metcalf and with George Pickens. You've got to start being the guy in the building. Like, you know, believe it or not, I know Rodgers' stock is kind of down right now, but guys on the team are still going to be looking to him as a leader.
Well, what if he already had the plane ticket to Egypt like last spring? Honestly, I think if you take Aaron Rodgers, you have to understand much more comes with that. He's a 41-year-old multiple-time MVP. He's not Joe Flacco.
Yeah, but he's not coming in to have the locker in the corner where nobody is going to pay attention to him. Like, he's still Rodgers. He brings so much with him. But by the way, you mentioned he had a ticket to Egypt. Did you see there was like some new things that were found in some of the Egyptian pyramids that were not in Giza, but near Sudan, where they have now totally rethinking who may have been buried in those pyramids?
Bogus, time for updates.
you're out on this? Back to Buddhism?
It's too close to her watching White Lotus? The JFK documents.
Guys, not me.
No, it's in the news.
I understand, but it is a close cousin of who shot JFK, what really happened with the pyramids.
No.
Dead bodies there?
This is not the aliens built the pyramids. That is all bunk. What I'm saying is they found like some muscle skeletons and mummified people who look like they were doing heavy labor, which would not have been the ruling class. That's not the pharaohs. They're not lifting a finger. That's the slaves and the regular people, the common folk. So they were saying maybe it wasn't just pharaohs and rich people who are buried in the pyramids. It could have been also the rank and file.
Y'all better leave them alone. Y'all better leave them alone before some bad juju starts floating around in this world. Leave those ghosts alone,
y'all. Honestly, whoever opens a tomb, like, you got to be crazy to do that. Like, the Tomb Raiders, I know they stole a lot of riches and things from, but some horrible things were bestowed on those people.
I thought you were doing the Tartarians built the pyramids, which Rodgers has said many times.
That's stupid.
Facts. Yeah.
But the problem is, when I saw this headline, he was like the second thought I had.
Yeah of course.
Like, and then I got mad at him for being that deep in my brain.
And Maggie's
like
the number one
Egyptologist in the world is Maggie's now second to Aaron Rodgers.
Okay. You're telling me that we were talking about Aaron Rodgers, then you get into this topic, but you were just sharing a random headline from the news that is not related to some weird conspiracy theories, but I think you're in that pool. Otherwise, why would you share that story at that given time?
Well, you said Egypt. You said Rodgers already bought the ticket to Egypt. And I was like, speaking of that, we got this news recently from some reputable science magazines and such.
Some crazy technology that they're using to, like, scan underground to find these things.
Oh, boy.
Pearl, this is not your run-of-the-mill conspiracy theories. I'm not talking about radio waves and stuff. We're talking about real stuff.
This is just the news part of it. The conspiracy theories come shortly thereafter. People now know this is the starting point. Now they're going to tell us why this is going on. But it's news that they're discovering this stuff.
It's news that fits in our show where we've been talking about Arkansas and whether Derek Queen traveled. And like, by the way, did you guys see what happened in Egypt with the ruling? Like, it just feels like we're dipping our toe into, oh, come on. There's a million hard news stories that we will ignore to talk about the NCAA tour. This one we're going to do?
We were talking about mummies. They're called John Calipari and Rick Pitino.
Wow. That's mean.
That's a bit of a save. Thank you, Manny.
Yeah, you're welcome.
All right, well, what do you want to talk about, Pearl? You want to talk about Houston defense?
Speaking of, speaking
the
of
Knicks
Aaron Rodgers,
woo!
Speaking of
that, better not be in the update.
Robert Saleh mistakenly calling out Aaron Rodgers at a press conference. Did you guys see what happened? I don't know. It just feels like I thought you were going towards their Aaron Rodgers who built the pyramids.
No, I'm not talking about
talk for
that.
Hours and hours and hours.
It's, all right, fine. It's back to BYU Bama, everybody.
It's relate. I don't think this had like
Grandpa
me.
Made tater tots.
What they really found out about the pyramids.
Yeah, I know.
Delicious. It's not that different than who built the pyramids. It's related. It's adjacent. New technology discovers things about the pyramids kind of in the same ballpark.
It might change the entire timeline of human history.
Oh, give me a break.
Someone got crushed by a rock. Let's just be real. That's the issue. The person building the pyramid got crushed by a rock and they just found his body.
Oh, interesting.
That's probably what happened.
But you said he was mummified.
I thought he was mummified. Maybe not.
Maybe they just, you know, they're like, there's just a body laying here. Let's just put him in some wrap.
Can I tell you another crazy thing?
Wrap.
Wrap it up. Can I tell you another crazy thing? You know, when they would mummify people, they would actually take a hook, put it up your nose, grab your brain, and they would take their brain out through their nose.
Is that what you learned at GW?
Yeah. First day on campus.
That seems
inefficient. Welcome to GW.
Yeah, that does sound inefficient. That doesn't sound...
Just to let you know.
Is it possible?
Student unions over
here.
Okay,
now I'm no longer on Maggie's side here.
They didn't have anesthesia or anything?
No, the person's already dead. They take out all their organs and put them in these things called Coptic jars, but they would take a hook and put it up your nose and grab your brain and take it out of your nose.
Is it possible, by the way, this whole thing is just say, look at this body so we can ignore the aliens that are also buried underneath the pyramids?
You're falling
for that.
That old gag. All right, let's get to some headlines. Top that, folks.
All the headlines are sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Your small business keeps you on the go. Progressive Commercial Insurance keeps your policy within reach with our easy-to-use mobile app. Learn more at progressivecommercial.com. Colorado State was on the verge of its first Sweet 16 since 1969.
Rocker Johnson to Clipper down in the left corner. Backing it against McGill. Whips it past the lane. Three from the right for the lead. It's good! 6.1 to go. Rams up one.
Jalen Lake with the go-ahead three on the Westwood One NCAA radio network. Just 6 seconds to go, but then Derek Queen happened. The first buzzer beater of the men's bracket to get Maryland the 72-71 thriller. Lake going from hero to heartbreak.
I can't even put it into words. I mean, this has been the best 4 years of my life, honestly.
So the Rams go home. Maryland makes it to its first Sweet 16 since 2016. First since 2017 for Florida, fighting off UConn 77-75. And first since 2019 for Kentucky, an 84-75 winner over Illinois. Kobe Brea, 23 points for the Wildcats. Caleb Love had 29 plus 9 rebounds and 4 assists to lead Arizona past Oregon, 87-83. Michigan State down New Mexico, 71-63. And Ole Miss took care of Iowa State, 91-78. That makes 7 SEC teams in the Sweet 16.
Sheesh.
On the women's side, number one overall seed UCLA took the third quarter 29-7 to dismiss Richmond 84-67. Lauren Betts, 30 points and 14 rebounds. On the men's coaching front, NC State has formally hired Will Wade, and Texas fired Rodney Terry yesterday after 3 seasons. The Longhorns reportedly close to replacing him with Xavier's Sean Miller.
Wait, you forgot the big story about Will Wade going to NC State, not alone.
Who's going with him?
Aura, Amir Khan, transferring to be the student manager now for the Wolfpack.
I just don't like him.
I thought he was 62 years old, though.
I know.
Is that official? Fun. I thought he might be a grad assistant.
No, Andrea from Berkeley had the... Oh, yeah.
did you?
I don't know if you heard that, yeah.
No, I wasn't. No.
That's where we got Amir Khan is 62.
Exactly.
From a mistaken astrology reading.
Yeah, it happened. Apparently, Amir Khan's a very popular name, including a very famous actor from India who's in his 60s.
Mm. So that's not the guy in the yellow jumpsuit?
Mercury is rising right now.
Yes, the chat is very big right now that Mercury's in retrograde. I think they're calling it Manny in retrograde. I don't know why.
I like it.
but they're also asking if Mercury's in retrograde and rising in Uranus is the type of sophomoric humor
that
we
grow
appreciate.
Up. I like him.
Calling all boobs.
Yeah, come on in.
I appreciate it.
We got pyramid talk.
Now that up Uranus would be really, really, really uncomfortable. Anyway, yeah.
You want NBA scores or are you good?
The Knicks won on Saturday.
Yeah, against a team that's terrible, and you guys celebrate like they won the damn tournament. You're the worst. You are the worst people.
Who celebrated like they won the tournament?
Everyone's posting things. We're back, this and that. Like, you beat the Wizards.
I just posted my daily victory post. I added no caption, no we are back.
My
because...
daily victory post. That's the problem.
Bogues, I crushed them in the text thread this weekend. Crushed. It's become a weekend. Every weekend, I just kill the Knicks fans. That was a hammer, you have to admit.
That was a pretty cool picture that I sent, though, right?
He's had a picture of a Spider-Man video game. Yeah. I'm like, what was he trying to save the Knicks in Game 5 against the Hawks? Yes. I actually put my phone down and high-fived my daughter. She's like, why are you high-fiving me?
All of a sudden, probably walking down the street whistling like a...
Oh, God.
Like John Travolta.
A reminder that Trae Young is like 11-19 against the Knicks.
Yeah, that settles it.
We don't care as much as you do. I saw Steph Curry rejoining the team for the road trip to Miami. It's like, yeah, I'd also rejoin the team for that specific road trip.
A lot of jugs in Miami, I bet.
There you go.
Milk, of course.
That's what happens when Manny takes over. There we go. I think we're good.
Pearl's out.
Well, Pearl's been out since the Egyptian pyramid.
I already forgot, by the way. I already forgot. What was the jugs joke that we did for all week?
I don't even remember.
How did we get to that one?
It was Jay in Nashville.
Jay was, I think, grocery shopping.
Because he works at a milk jug factory. Yeah. Okay. Which was probably
so
a lie.
He says.
Jay probably made that one up. I know Jay has a million jobs.
Yeah. Smartest guy I've ever had as a caller and listener. Very, very smart guy. And now working, I think, the overnight shift in a milk jug factory. And the comedy just wrote itself.
Yeah, he said, I've been watching jugs all day. And he went on with his call. Then we went back to it a minute later. Wait, what did you say? Yeah, I've been watching milk jugs go. Yeah.
That sounds like a lie that, like, you tell your wife while you're covering up your affair. Like, oh, yeah, I got the night shift at the milk jug factory. Yeah.
Then he got very
specific. That's believable.
I bet you do.
I think Jay said, he's like, it's like the opening to Laverne and Shirley, except milk instead of beer. And at that point, I'm like, well, he wouldn't make up that detail if it was a totally fake story.
I believe Jay's my emergency contact. Yeah, anything that guy says. He used to be Ryan Botcher.
Jay probably knows things about Egypt that we barely have ever heard of.
888-710-4ISN. Not sure why I'm giving out the number there, but 888-710-4476. We're asking you this very important question. Is John Calipari's Cinderella? Are you rooting for him as an underdog? You can let us know. Aaron Rodgers in Pittsburgh, but left the facility without a contract. You're welcome to weigh in on that, too. Coming up next, we get into the craziest coach in college sports, maybe sports period. That's it, M&P.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism, so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at omicid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. It's the Infinity Sports Network. We say good morning to our affiliates. And if you want to watch the show, youtube.com/InfinitySportsNet, twitch.tv/InfinitySportsNetwork. Okay, looking back on the weekend of the NCAA tournament, we have the Sweet 16 set. But UConn's run ends, Pearl, after back-to-back championships, won a game in the tournament, and then loses to the one seed in their region, the Florida Gators. And Danny Hurley, a range of emotions, really. First, let's hear Hurley exiting the floor, which has become like must watch. And this is what he had to say to the waiting Baylor team that was waiting their turn to eventually take on Duke.
I hope they don't do that to you, man. I hope they don't do that to you, guys.
All right. Well, you know, you heard the bleeps there. First of all, he said, I hope they don't bleep you like they bleeped us. Well, it's not the same officiating crew. This isn't an AAA tournament somewhere.
No, the they is bigger. It's a whole universe. It's the NCAA.
Oh,
they're
tired
of UConn winning and screwed them against Florida, which is not exactly accurate.
No, I think Florida hit, what, 6 of 6 shots down the stretch and just went on a little bit of a run.
Yeah, UConn went 7 minutes without hitting a shot, so... No,
can't blame this one on the officials, but Dan Hurley was trying as much as he could. So that was exiting the court. Emotions are high. Here's Dan Hurley, and this is where the Jekyll and Hyde kind of comes in. So that was him leaving the court, angry, cursing, spewing venom. Now here he is with Tracy Wolfson.
You know, I thought we played with tremendous honor. I thought we played with the heart of a championship program and a program that's gone back to back. And for a team to end, what we really wanted to do, they were going to have to put us down. And obviously, a worthy opponent like that, there's honor in the way we went out.
Okay, Dan Hurley sometimes is like when you're in a toxic relationship with somebody and they kind of blow up all the time, but then they immediately apologize. And it's like, who is this person? But that is Hurley in a nutshell. You know, he is as fiery as anybody. It looks like he's going to have a heart attack on the sidelines, although he's not the only coach like that. But he goes bananas on the sideline. And yet you get to the press conference like eerily calm. Like, it almost makes him seem more psychotic of how calm he is when he's talking to someone one-on-one or at the dais, because you know the fire that's burning inside of him.
Yeah, I mean, I think Dan Hurley has to change. I'm being serious. He is just he's way too intense on the officials. Again, he reminds me so much of Bob Knight. Because Bob Knight won some titles, just like Dan Hurley did, and thought he was kind of God. And I think Dan Hurley, more than any other coach, acts like, you're calling that on me. You know, he thinks that he is, he definitely thinks he's above all the other coaches. There's no doubt in my mind. He said it. I'm the best bleeping coach in the country. And I think he thoroughly believes this. This is Bob Knight's ego act two.
Okay, well, here's the thing about that characterization. You know, Bob Knight was able to get away with it for a long time until he couldn't.
Right. Well, I wonder, is there a shelf life for Dan Hurley acting like this? Doesn't he feel like he could burn out at some point?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. I'm actually kind of surprised it hasn't happened yet, to be honest with you. But yeah, I could see it. The one thing is, does he actually have the self-control and the discipline that Bobby Knight did not have,
yeah.
You know, and to choke a player, not let alone like throwing the chair across the floor. We talked about that. The anniversary of that was mm-hmm. recently. They still have the chair at the Indiana Athletic Department. And that's kind of like a symbol of Bob Knight's just like passion. But him choking a player obviously got him kicked out of Indiana. He ended up rebounding and going to Texas Tech, but still.
I do agree, by the way. He does have this charm in interviews that you heard there.
Bobby Knight did not have a charm that right. I saw, you know?
No.
He was kind of mean in real life, too.
Behind
May he rest
scenes,
in peace. But.
Behind the scenes, people did like him, or at least they were loyal to him. He had all... I mean, look at how many coaches were under him.
Yep.
All of them. I mean, Coach K is a version of Bobby Knight. I feel like Dan Hurley could watch Coach K. Coach K had a lot of the Bob Knight things, but not the bad Bob Knight things. He kind of was able to contain his anger, barely. I mean, you could tell Coach K was just as intense as either of these guys, but he made it work. So Dan Hurley's got a choice. I think he's at a fork in the road. Am I going to continue down this road where I am just tearing a new one on the officials, or am I going to try and contain it?
I think we know the answer to that. I don't think there's any sign of stopping. Now, you're saying he has to change. I think he believes that he's doing this the right way. And, you know, listen, we know that Coach K and the Hurley family have been connected going back to the early 90s.
Mm-hmm.
So I, you know, and Coach K, it was shocking sometimes to see just how incensed he would be on the sidelines. But, you know, we never heard anything about him being abusive towards players or anything like that.
Nope.
No. So I think that Danny Hurley feels like he can just continue to do this. I think it's an arrogance that is probably earned. I don't know if he's going to end up blowing up, but we talked about this a couple weeks ago after the Luka Doncic trade in the Lakers. I said, man, if you're Danny Hurley, are you like, oh, I should have taken that job. Little did I know how different it would be with Luka Doncic with the Lakers. And you said, Perloff, he could never be an NBA coach. And
well,
I'm tending to agree with you. Like, that would not fly. And it's barely flying in college. Some people love it, some people hate it, but it is so over the top at times.
Yeah. It seems like it'd be really problematic to act like that in the NBA, especially, you know, you brought up that point that the Lakers would have been a great job with Luka, but that, again, that's huge expectations and it's easy to fall short. I don't think the Lakers, even with Luka and LeBron, are going to win a title anytime soon. It's going to be really challenging. Maybe if they don't do it this year, LeBron gets older, then it's Luka with no team around him, almost a worse team than Dallas. That would drive Danny Hurley crazy. He just feels perfect for college. He's got to adjust. He can't run onto the court and look like he's going to murder the official after every single call. Every call.
But who's going to tell him no? And it's going to be a self-implosion if it's anything.
Well, he did, you know, he's a little different. Maybe his ego came down a little bit because they lost this time. You know, they had just won two national titles. He went out in the second round here. Finally, UConn lost. Maybe that changes him. A loss humbles him a little bit and he gets back to where he was before the titles. Yeah, you sound dubious.
I don't see it. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Is Dan Hurley the next Bobby Knight? In the sense that, you know, Bobby Knight, again, all-time great coach. You mentioned the coaching tree, everything, but ultimately, like, was also kind of his own demise.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Do you see this happening with Dan Hurley? It's very interesting.
By the way, a couple guys, I'd forgotten that. Well, Chris Beard, I knew at Texas Tech, but Dusty May was also a Bobby Knight guy at Michigan. So it's the Bobby Knight tree is alive and well. That doesn't mean it works.
888-710-4ISN. We have more March Madness for you and what we saw over the weekend. Start previewing the Sweet 16 and some football news. Quarterbacks on the move. I'll tell you who next.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind Original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.